The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Osweiler to the end zone, and Fedorowicz goes high in the air. Did he come down with it? Touchdown, Texans! Off the play fake quickly to the end zone. Will Fuller, touchdown, Texans! Osweiler dancing in the pocket, throws to Hopkins, and it's intercepted by the Titans. Osweiler from the shotgun on second down to the far side of the field, and it's intercepted. By the way, the Texans have put Will Fuller back along with Irvin. We saw that at practice on Friday, that they pushed him back, and it will be Fuller who will start this at the 33-yard line. He can fly if he gets it to the open field, and he's into the open field. Inside the 30, he's going to go.
You know, it's funny. It's not funny by any means, but, you know, I come up here, and every single week when I get to work and in practice, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I really feel like I'm going to play a clean football game, and I feel like I'm going to be able to stand up here in front of you guys and kind of, hey, told you I could play a clean game. And then I go out there and I do something like that again today. You know, I think it just boils down to decision making. And that's something I know I need to be better at. This team did a tremendous job, offense, defense, special teams, of really having my back today and, you know, helping me through that. You know, I put the team in some very poor positions, and I know that. And that's not fair to those guys because they played their hearts out today. The decisions will be cleaned up. I will make better decisions. I know I've said that before, but I promise you guys I'm going to clean these interceptions up because that football team's working too hard and they deserve better.
So the Texans get it done and a lot of other stuff to get to. Let's get it rolling. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. A lot to get to. First off, welcome back, Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you for having me.
How was your weekend in New Orleans?
It was pretty fantastic. I'm not going to lie. I should probably say, I really missed being at work, and it was terrible to be away. But I honestly, I forgot that it was Friday, and I I probably drank enough beer to drown a horse, and I had a bunch of great food too. Yeah, it was really a good time.
Good. John, how was your weekend?
It was busy.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sucks for you, man. Yeah. It wasn't busy drinking beer and eating really good food?
Not too much beer. We had a couple of things I got to take care of.
At the office?
Oh, no, not here. Not here. I was helping my parents out on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
They own some property. We had to go visit.
Ooh, baller.
What's that?
Baller life.
Sort of.
Yeah. Is it where you're going to build your compound once you get married?
Sure.
Okay.
like housing?
Yeah.
No.
No, okay.
It's just property they own around the city.
Oh, okay. Do they own businesses or what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How come you never told us this before?
I keep it private.
What kind of businesses are they running?
They own a couple of, the one we went to, they own like, they have this land that they own. They have a gas station on it, washateria, and then they have this dance hall. They just manage the washateria and they're basically the landlord for the other two.
Okay.
And we basically, Teresa started working for my mom. So she's the manager now. We went over there.
Wait, she just started and she's the manager?
Yeah. So, I mean, the plan is to pass it down to me.
Ah. And then you're going to quit this job and run the washateria?
Not anytime soon.
But eventually.
Not sure.
So we can't really count on you for the
this,
long
this
haul.
This is kind of a bombshell he just dropped on us.
Because listen, guys, the radio landscape is changing around here. And I need to know who's in and who's out.
Well, it's not really a bombshell because I don't know. I don't disclose family stuff, I guess, usually.
Right.
Because, I mean, you guys
well,
are
well, that's
on
why
air
it's a bombshell. I mean, you just let us know that there's a good chance you're not going to be around in the near future.
I wouldn't say that.
You did kind of say that.
Kind of did say that,
yeah,
right?
I exactly.
mean, like, he didn't say that, no, that's not the case. I'm never going to leave this show. But all right. Well.
Now we know.
Yeah, now we know where we stand.
We can proceed accordingly. I had a pretty lame weekend. I just, when you left Friday, I got a text from a friend of mine that HEB on Montrose,
mm-hmm.
I guess they're changing their buyers, so they took everything they had in the back out and put it out. So there's a whole bunch of just rare stuff. So I spent way too much money on beer Friday.
Yeah.
And then spent the last 2 days going through a lot of it.
Well, I hope that your beer tab for the weekend wasn't as large as mine.
I only spent $250.
Okay. Well, I'm still out in front of you.
Yeah, I saw your tweets, so I was guessing it was quite a bit. But good betting weekend, too, finally. Only game I missed was Arizona State.
I was pretty solid. A lot of it was in thanks to the Houston Texans, although I'm probably about to spend the foreseeable future crapping on them.
Well, that's okay.
They did enough to earn me a payday, so that was kind of nice. But, yeah, watching that game, that Texans game, went from, you know, for the first maybe 5-10 minutes thinking, man, this team might really be good.
Right.
And then by the end of the game, you're thinking, this team, if they win the division, it's because the rest of the division is just crappy enough. It was very frustrating to watch that game play out. And I don't know that Brock Osweiler is any good. I'll go ahead and just throw it out there. I've seen 4 games out of Brock Osweiler, and I've seen way more bad than good. And at this point, the only difference between the quarterback play of last year and this year is the price tag on it. And
well, technically, if you want to look at the numbers, there's a big difference. They're not as good this year.
It was better last year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very strange that it's probably because, and this is the way fan bases work. So a fan base will say, well, Osweiler's our quarterback, just spent $18 million on him. And so obviously you know this is your guy for the foreseeable future, next three, four years.
It's a 2-year mistake if you made a mistake.
If it's 2 years, but it'll be a penalty. To be just a 2-year mistake.
And actually, the way the contract's set up, it's not that punitive after year two.
Okay.
So.
Well, Texans fan is going to say, give him some time. But when you pay a guy that kind of money, time isn't really what you're not paying to develop that guy. You're paying for a guy to come in and improve what you had last year. And I don't know that this team is any better than it was last year. And specifically at that position. And we heard Jong play at the beginning of the show, play Osweiler saying, I promise, guys, for the 4th week in a row, I promise I'm going to cut out these interceptions. It's going to stop. I'm done with that. And it's just, it's frustrating because I expected Osweiler to be better myself. I actually, I kind of believed in that dude a little bit. Maybe I was wrong. Because it's just 4 games, but through 4 games, he's done nothing to inspire the fact that he's worth a damn. And it's, you know, the easy part of the schedule, you're done with that. You're about to go up on the road again to Minnesota, who's eaten up every quarterback they've played, they've eaten up. I don't expect it to start improving next week. Maybe I'm overreacting, but if I see this guy on 3rd down, it's like he just tells the defense on 3rd and long, hey, guys, I'm throwing it at DeAndre Hopkins. If you guys you try to stop it if you want, but that's where the ball's going. And then every third and long, he looks at DeAndre Hopkins, looks nowhere else, throws at DeAndre Hopkins, and often gets taken away. And I saw after one of the picks yesterday, I saw DeAndre kind of like, it almost looked like he was tired of it himself, like the frustration. And specifically because Osweiler didn't look at DeAndre yesterday unless it was third down and he was double covered. And then he was like, I'm going to you, buddy. It's very strange. And Texans fans, it's nice to be excited about the 3-1 start, but if you're watching these games, you can't possibly feel good about what's happening. You can't feel like this is, you know, this is built on a strong foundation. It feels like fool's gold. And the Chiefs win is a nice win. Beating the Bears and Titans, I mean, really both those games were closer than they should have been when you think about where you expect the Texans to be versus where you expect those other two teams to be. And then watching the Chiefs last night, hell, I don't even know how great of a win that was. It's not like it was the year when they went 2-14, where after 2-0, we were in here saying, isn't for real. But
I think, though, the standard that you're trying to see them set, it should be higher than 9-7, which is what we talked about.
Well, that's why you pay a quarterback $18 million a year to get you to that next step, right? And at this point, I mean, unless there's significant improvement in Osweiler, I don't think you've got better than Matt Schaub, first of all. And I don't know if you've got better than what Brian Hoyer was. I mean, it's just not what you paid for.
Well, I said this before the season, and I'm not changing my mind now. There's no way I'm going to be able to tell you what the guy really is until at least 8 or 10 games in.
Okay, halfway through that, you're not feeling great, are you?
No, I am seeing. There are some things I like. First off,
out of him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I want to hear this.
And I think the skill set is there. What the thing is with all these guys.
Well, I mean, if you mean he's tall, yeah, I agree.
No, he's got a good arm. He's more accurate.
A decent arm.
He's got a good enough NFL arm to be good. His accuracy is better than I thought it was. What bothers me, and I'm gonna tell you what, I'm not gonna put all these interceptions on him. I think DeAndre Hopkins is much to blame because
you can't lock in on guys in the NFL like that.
No, you can't, but you know what? You know how he made his living last year? Going up on 50-50 balls and taking them away from people. Now, every time he's had one this year, he hasn't come down with it. He's been manhandled, and that's on both Osweiler for not throwing the ball accurately enough, but it's also on Hopkins for getting balls taken away from him. And it's happened a bunch of times, and every interception has been that. So, yeah, a lot of that's on Osweiler. I'm not giving him a pass by any stretch because the first two drives, he looked like Tom freaking Brady. And then the rest of the game, he's missing passes. But those particular throws, I mean, that's why you have a guy like that, right? Throw it up there and let him go get it. Well, he's not going and getting it. He's getting shoved around. And I think he has to take some of the blame for that. You can't just say, oh, that's all on the quarterback. Either that or it's on O'Brien for continuing to call those plays because they aren't working.
Well, I mean, every quarterback has a right to check down off his number one target. And this is my problem is it just rarely happens, particularly on third downs. And he doesn't worry about what the coverage is like. And you can't just expect your receiver to go up and get 50-50 balls. That's why they're 50-50 balls.
Well, don't you expect him to get 50% of them? That's hence the name. He hasn't gotten any.
Well, he got a lot more than he didn't last year, so maybe this is working back towards the mean.
Well, that's the thing. I just before we put this whole thing on Osweiler, I think it's fair to say DeAndre Hopkins isn't playing very well, and I think he's part of this too.
Okay,
so
then quit forcing the ball to him.
Well, exactly, and that goes back to coaching, and that goes back to telling your quarterback, all right. You know, but they even talked about at the beginning of the year that, you know, I've got to learn to trust that DeAndre is going to go up and get the ball. Well, he's not doing it. So now you need to learn to trust somebody else to go get the ball. Don't make those plays. But I don't think it's all on him. And we'll get to the one thing I like about him so far. I mean, I said things. It's really one thing that I think could bode well moving forward.
Okay.
So it'll be a positive.
All right.
We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
DoctorsWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that, the thing about interceptions is I think when you study them, there have been a couple that haven't been good decisions that we have to clean up. The decision by Brock, maybe the way the route was run, maybe the protection broke down and he had to get rid of it a little bit quicker. Then there's been some batted balls. You know, there was one that was batted in the air yesterday that I don't think was a great play call. You know, it was a drive starter right after Dempsey's interception. I got a little greedy there and tried to call a pass to start that drive, and it wasn't – they blitzed it. He had to get rid of it quickly. So when you say, am I concerned? No, I'm not. I believe that it will get fixed. I think that overall Brock has played well for us. I thought, other than the two interceptions, I thought the guy played a good football game for us, got us into the right plays, good tempo. So we just need to, you know, stop turning the ball over, and I think a lot goes into that, not just one player.
Other than the two interceptions. I love that. That's
besides
like,
well, that.
If, you know, well, I'm not trying to defend Osweiler. I'm just saying I don't think it's quite as bad as it looks right now. I think there's some other things to blame. And it should have been three balls intercepted that he tried to throw at Hopkins. But, you know, again, if you're going to throw those kind of balls, then Hopkins really needs to – there's times you got to play defense. He's not doing it. And a couple people are tweeting, is it because of his contract? I don't think that's the case. I hope it's not. He doesn't look like the same player, though. And I don't know if that's the plays are running for him. I'd like to see him run more of those crossing routes to him. He seems to get open very well on those, and we're not seeing a lot of that. But, you know, the reality is they should beat the Titans. And they're supposed to beat that team. And they should have looked better doing it. And there were some other things, too. But I wanted to get to my point. The one thing I do like that I've seen in Osweiler, and I was saying this and we got interrupted, but a lot of guys have the skill set to be NFL quarterbacks.
Right.
A lot of guys have the height, the arm, all the things you look for. And we see a lot of them bust for a variety of reasons. Some of them get on these crap teams with bad coaches and get beat up so bad that they never really have a chance. Some of them wind up, you know, some of them wind up just melting down. And the thing I compare it to is going on tilt in poker. We've all done it, right? But the great players don't stay on tilt.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers throws interceptions. Tom Brady throws interceptions. They have bad games. Things don't go their way. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers after week two and how awful he was, right?
Yeah.
But guys like that bounce back from it. They don't let it stay in their head. And that's one thing.
Rarely are Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady looking bad against.
Oh, they have their bad games against bad
teams. The
Titans
and the Bears.
I mean, they have games. And listen, I'm not trying to put them in the same conversation. I'm just saying I see a mindset there that it's not getting in his head yet. Now, let it keep going. Let people keep asking him questions about interceptions over and over and over again. And it might. But that's the one positive I see is that it doesn't seem to faze him. Now, the negative to that is he's going to keep throwing the damn ball at Hopkins when he shouldn't. But I don't think it's getting in his head yet. And that's one. And he hasn't had that Hoyer meltdown type game, thank God.
Well, he was. If DeAndre Hopkins doesn't knock that ball down yesterday, that's three picks. They lose to the Titans. That's a melt.
It is. But again, he could have knocked down one of those other two balls, too, that he didn't. So I think it's fair to question how DeAndre Hopkins is playing as much as it is Brock Osweiler. And I think it's easy to look at that and say there's issues with both of them. Now, they need to run the ball better, too. That's the other thing. They're just, you know, the running game, the blocking, pass blocking was actually pretty good most of the game. The run blocking was not. And if they can run the ball, then they're getting in better third downs. These third and eights where you have to try to force the ball in there, those are bad situations to be in. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, O'Brien takes over the play calling in the first two drives. They look unbeatable, and you're like, what the hell? Why didn't you do this before? And then after that, they pretty much reverted back to what we've seen all year, which is pretty predictable play calling. And now maybe they were more conservative because it's the Titans, and you knew the Titans were going to screw up too. But 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. The other thing, too, and we'll get to all the games, but what amazes me, and the Texans yesterday at the end of the half, we're absolute buffoons when it comes to the clock. And I see this almost every game, there's somebody doing something stupid at the end of the half. If you were up, you probably were still hungover if you were up for the Jaguars game.
I watched.
What were they doing at the end of the game, throwing the ball twice with 2 minutes left? And we're basically, the Colts have just scored.
Well, they're terribly coached, Fred.
Well, but how is it that these guys, this is your job, man. You should know how to manage the clock. You should understand game theory. And they go and throw the ball. I'm like, dude, run the ball up the gut three times, or at least twice. Maybe you want to pass on third down. Run some clock off. Make the Colts use their timeouts. Don't give the ball to Andrew Luck with a chance to beat you. What do?
They give it to Andrew
Luck. About 15 seconds off the clock and leave him just plenty of time. And then the Texans before the half. This the whole thing with them getting the delay of game penalty, and the announcers were acting like, oh, well, they didn't see the signal. He signaled it. The guys just stood there. Somebody's got to take charge there and look at the damn clock and say, hey, we need to get the kicking unit out there. And then, of course, because the Titans are bad, they bail them out with an interference play call that let them kick the field goal. But that kind of stuff. And then what are you doing? And it didn't hurt them, but pooch kicking after that, and the ball goes out of bounds, and you get the ball in the 40. And if I'm the Titans, I take a shot downfield from there, maybe get an interference call. It's just little stuff like that.
If they were playing a better team,
exactly,
they would have been punished.
Exactly. That's the point. I mean, if you can't make those mistakes when you play better teams. And yeah, the NFL is kind of weird right now because I don't know about you. I saw a lot of bad football yesterday, and I see a lot of teams that I'm just not that impressed with that are 3-1, including this one. I don't know how the Rams are 3-1. I really don't.
I don't either. And you know, just like some surprise teams are 3-1, some not so good teams are 3-1. I still think the Cardinals at 1-3. Do I think they're as good as I thought they were? Probably not, but at 1-3, that's still a pretty talented team.
Carson Palmer may not play this week, too.
Yeah, I mean, but they're...
Just goes to show you, year-to-year, things can change with teams, because there's not much different with the Cardinals. There really isn't.
But it's four games, and it's four games for teams that have looked good and four games for teams that have looked bad, but that's a quarter of the season, man. I mean, four games isn't a small sample size.
No, well, it's fourth of the season. And I think it's a fair time that you can... I think that's when you can start evaluating. You get through four games, you look at it at the quarter pole, then you look at it halfway, then you look at it three quarters of the way in. And if
but are the Cowboys good? They're 3-1. What do you think of the Cowboys?
I think the Cowboys are one of those 3-1 teams that I'm not sure about yet. Just like I'm not really sure about the Texans. Just like I'm not sure about the Rams. I'm certainly not sure about the Ravens.
Dude, I saw the Seahawks go 3-1.
Yeah,
I picked them to play in the Super Bowl. They're 3-1. I don't even know if they're good. I don't.
Although, I don't know what they did to Russell Wilson to get him healthy, but he looked like good Russell Wilson again.
But honestly, the 3-1 teams that I'm pretty sure are legit, Patriots are good.
Yeah.
The Steelers, they're good.
Yep.
I think the Falcons are good. The Falcons suck on D, but the Falcons look like they can score on anybody.
Don't you remember how well they started off last year? Weren't they 6-0, I think, to start the season?
And then I think something collapsed? Like that.
Yeah.
But you did say... Let Matt Ryan do that against the Panthers defense, and maybe I'll be impressed. Matt Ryan throws for 500 yesterday.
Well, that wasn't Matt Ryan yesterday. That was Julio Jones. That's who we need to be talking about. Come on, man. Yeah, I got some numbers on Julio Jones.
I mean, Julio Jones is – I think Julio Jones is the best receiver in the league, but a quarterback throws for 500 yards. That's 500 yards.
Yeah, how much of that was to Jones?
Just 300.
Yeah, that's a lot. No, he had a great game. Don't get me wrong, but let's not ignore the fact that the guy he's got is playing – better than anybody in football right now. And that's some numbers for you on Julio Jones.
Well, did Ben Roethlisberger play well yesterday, or was it Antonio Brown?
No, I'm telling you, if Matt Ryan didn't have Julio Jones out there to get 300 yards, he wouldn't put up 500.
Oh, well, hell, who would?
I've seen Roethlisberger put up 500 a bunch of times. So,
I mean, with scrubs out there or what?
He's had games where Brown didn't play.
Okay.
But, no, he had a great game. Don't get me wrong, but...
You just said, I'll give him some credit when he does it against someone like the Panthers, and now you're immediately disregarding what he did against the Panthers.
I've also got a long career of him having big games and then going back to being Matt Ryan. So, yeah, am I impressed by them so far? Sure. Am I sold on them? Not a chance.
No, of course not. The AFC South is the same as the NFC South, by the way. There's a 3-1 team that's got clear holes on top, and there's a bunch of 1-3 teams.
But Julio Jones... 96.9 yards per game that he's averaged over the course of his entire career. Okay, that's a six-year career. And that's not just because of yesterday, right? You know where that ranks in NFL history? And by how much? Number one, 96.9. You know what's second? Calvin Johnson, 86.1.
Wow.
That's NFL history. This guy is averaging more yards per game than any player ever. Now, we know they pass more and things like that than they did in the Jerry Rice era. But still, I mean, that's pretty sick. He's on pace for 1,900 yards.
Well, he's a freak, man. He's as good as he gets to me.
And I think that's one guy that, he never gets enough credit in that conversation for who's the best receiver. He should be. I mean, everybody talks about Beckham, and they talk about Antonio Brown. No, they throw him in that mix.
Give me that size, man.
Well, and give me that production. That's just, to me, that's mind-boggling. It's not just that he's doing it this year. He's done that over 6 years of his career.
I always prefer, if it's close, I prefer the big receivers. Always. That's why I'm a A.J. Green, Julio Jones. Those are the guys I like. The guys that, you throw it up there, they can go get it, but they can also outrun everybody. That's what makes the greats.
But this guy, at this stage of his career, is playing the best he's played, and so far he's been better than anybody.
And there's no Roddy White on the other side of him, which helped him for a long time, but also took away a little bit of production, I guess. But, the other side of that field is
there's not much there. And maybe that's helping him because they just have to target him more.
Yeah, but he does have a running game for one of the first times in his career. I mean, Atlanta's had some rough years running the football, and Coleman and Freeman are doing a good job, but it's been impressive. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Gary Trichter. Remember law enforcement? These guys are stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test on a lot of weekends. And if your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed one of those tests the police gave you, a lot of things you should know about those tests. Breath test machines, they're not warranted fit for breath testing on humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and then destroy the evidence, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Those tests, they're inaccurate, they're unreliable, and juries are going to notice the problems with those machines. Same with the blood tests. They're going to notice that it's not testing your actual blood for alcohol. It's testing the air above it. They're going to notice those things because attorney Gary Trichter is going to point them out. He's a DWI specialist right here in Houston, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. And that board-certified DWI specialist means he's experienced in telling the truth about the science behind the police testing. And he's experienced in doing it in front of a jury in a trial setting, not just going in pleading guilty and hoping for the best. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, we'll take some phone calls this segment. Mont says, I got sour on Brock the first interception where he feared a non-existent sack, perfect pocket.
He does have the happy feet, like
that worries me a little bit because.
But I guess I would too if I had that offensive line, honestly.
Yeah,
I
mean, and that's the kind of thing that you can get rid of, but the more you get hit, the more you start seeing it. So that could also go the other way in a hurry. I don't know what to make of him yet. I see enough there that I think he could be pretty good, but I'm seeing more negatives than positives so far, which I expected to see. I expected to see some negatives, but you can't be upside down on touchdowns and interceptions. That's not good football. Nope. You're not playing well, and there's no way around it. You can't sugarcoat it. You need to be 2-1.
If you are on the right side of touchdowns to interceptions, there's a lot of other stats you can look at that'll tell you, oh, maybe he's doing okay. Maybe, you know,
maybe it's a little phony. Maybe it's not. But if you're not, there's not much you can.
If the left number is smaller than the right number, you're not playing good football. End of story. You're not careful enough with the football. And what you're doing to put up numbers isn't enough to cover up the bad that you're doing. It's the same way with running backs. Like if a running back is averaging 6 yards a carry and he's fumbling every now and again, it's okay. If your running back averages like 2.5 yards per carry and he's fumbling, that guy's not going to get back on the field.
713-780-ESPN. I just, what I hope they do is go back and look at all the things they did in those first two drives and say, okay, this is what our offense needs to be. It's not going to work like that every time. It never does. But they use the tight ends. I mean, C.J. Fedorowicz actually looked like an NFL player.
Yeah.
For the first time in his career.
Until he got hurt.
Yeah, on special teams. But that the way they use the tight ends, everything. And then, of course, Tennessee started adjusting and getting pressure on the quarterback. And I don't think the Texans did a very good job adjusting. And they set 7 points in the second half of that game. Now, part of that was because the Titans had the ball for half the third quarter.
Yeah.
Or almost all the third quarter. And we really didn't talk about the defense. I thought they struggled against the run for a lot of that game. And I thought there were some breakdowns in the secondary again. And some of those guys that were running that wide open, that just shouldn't happen.
Well, that Rishard Matthews play, I mean, that's unacceptable. But if you... And I know it sounds silly, but you take out that 160-yard pass, then yeah. It was a decent day
but,
for the
– But that was a bad breakdown.
It really was bad.
And, and that's the thing. Mariota made a few plays, but he's also going to make enough mistakes where – this is what bad teams do.
Well, I don't – Mariota didn't play a good game, but you expect that. I guess I just expect more out of the Texans than I do the Titans. I expected Mariota to have a bad game because he's a young quarterback and the Texans are good on defense. The Titans are a bad football team. I mean, the Texans should look really good against the Titans.
They've played better defense this year, but offensively, okay. they're just not that good. And that's the other thing, kind of losses. The Titans shouldn't be putting 20 points up on you. And I get some of that was you have to adjust to not having Watt, but...
Well, and some of that is you're in the crappy field position when your quarterback keeps handing it over the other side.
I got one more guy that I want to pound on a little bit, if that's okay.
Okay.
Because he did get a sack yesterday. But other than that, Jadeveon Clowney was a huge negative. He was getting shoved around. He was getting blocked at the ground almost every play. And then the back-to-back, offsides penalties, he just looked like he didn't belong on the field.
Yeah. I got one more guy to bang on, Bill O'Brien.
Well, I kind of banged on him a little bit when we talked about the end of the half there, but
when it was fourth down and they should have challenged that fourth down spot, that and instead of punting the ball from basically midfield and trusting, I mean, you got to trust your defense in that situation, instead of trusting your offense. The play call to give the ball to Jay Prosh is I don't understand. I really don't. And I said this.
And again, it didn't bite you because they're not good enough to go downfield and beat
you. And this is revisionist. This isn't revisionist history because I said when they set the rosters, why do you still need a fullback? What is the justification of having a fullback on this team? If that play is why you kept a fullback, then you're wasting a spot. You're wasting a spot. He does nothing. And that was the... If you are going to go for it on fourth down, you should have challenged. Like I said, they would have gotten a first down on the challenge, I believe. If you're not going to do that, though, just punt the ball. If you decide for whatever reason you want to go for it, and I can't justify why you go for it.
Actually, I don't mind him going for it there, but...
You've got a lead, and you've got a better defense against a crappy team.
But when you lined
team.
Up that way, you knew exactly what was coming because they've done that. They did it in the preseason. They've done it a couple of times this year. And all you had to do was you fake it to him, you do the pitch to Miller and let him go around the outside, he's gone. Because everybody was stacked right in the middle just to stop that.
There's just some bad, bad play calling.
Yeah, well, that was not good, but all right. I promise we'll get the calls next segment.
All right.
Well, we're going to hit all the NFL games at 5 o'clock, so if you haven't heard your team yet, don't worry. We will get to it.
All right. I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions, and if you're looking to beautify your backyard, these are the guys to call. I went to their showroom, I attended the Beltway. I was blown away at what they were able to do there, and you will be too, especially with this carved stone. You can renovate your fading pool deck, your grayed-out patio, your outdated driveway with this carved stone overlay, which gives you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's trialed, hand-carved, custom-colored to your home, so it looks great. It's very durable, twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. If your backyard's currently a blank slate, Allied will build it from the ground up, from a functional concrete patio to the outdoor kitchen and patio cover you've been dreaming of. Whatever you want to do, they can do it. They can help you with residential and commercial projects. They can help you save money, too. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get that carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for way less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by that showroom, like I mentioned, I-10 in the Beltway. Watch what they can do for you. Or just check them out online. Carved Stone Projects Photo Galleries online at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
ESPN. 97.5.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
And we are back on the Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Yeah, we'll get to some of these other games, but man, it's amazing watching so much of these yesterday, how the teams that are always bad teams find ways to lose games.
Yeah.
You know, Jaguars did everything they could to throw that game away yesterday.
They tried really hard.
And it's just that the Colts aren't very good right now either and couldn't take advantage of it. But, well, if you want to get in, now's probably your segment. I want to kind of get into some college just a little bit because it looks like the hot seat is getting turned up on Charlie Strong.
As it should.
Yeah, it probably should because...
Because now you're starting to see that big win over Notre Dame. Maybe wasn't that impressive. So, what are you hanging your hat on?
Well, and he's taken play calling away on defense, apparently, finally.
Well, either way, it's a badly coached team, period. On not just offensively, defensively.
Special teams are a joke.
It's all just bad.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I don't know who else you can point to.
He's recruited well. He's changed the culture there. Got to give him a lot of credit for that. But the actual coaching of these kids, it's not working, especially on defense. They have too much talent on defense to be that bad. And I think they've got a good enough offense now to be competitive. But they can't stop anybody. And, you know, I don't know. And the way they're saying is like, you know, he may be out. Basically, it's the old rumors that start getting dropped before you play OU. And if he beats OU, then maybe he keeps his job. But I think they're going to have a hard time beating OU. I think that's a team that can put up points. And, yeah, I think TCU's defense is pretty bad, too. But I don't know that Texas can score with them. So, Love Dieron says, if the Texans fired O'Brien, would it be uncalled for? Well, yeah, they're 3-1.
They're not gonna fire him.
he's got two winning seasons and a 3-1 start. But that doesn't mean
the team's good either.
And it doesn't mean that they can't get better at some things and that they don't need to fix some things. And the question is whether or not they see that these things need to be fixed. Somebody says, is it fair to be worried about Brock's decision making now? It's fair to be concerned about it because, as we talked about the entire first segment, pretty much. But again, I could see where. Those are things that could improve. I could also see him going the other way. And No, I just think it's too early. I haven't seen enough to say.
Lamont said, and I felt the same way after the game. He said, pretty damn sad after a game it has the feel of an L. And it did feel like they lost that game. That's what I said. They not only did they win, they covered.
Yeah, I know.
And they're 2 games up on the rest of the division, and I still don't feel good about the team.
And that's okay. That is okay, because the reality is, and I always try to do this, when they win, I try to look for things that they can improve on. When they lose, I try to look for, you know, things that were positives that might be good going forward. And after that Patriots game, I said there was no positives whatsoever.
No, but this felt worse than the Patriots game.
In a way.
Except they won.
In a way, it kind of did. Now, good decision to throw Will Fuller out there on a punt return. I'm fine with that. I want to see more of that. If you get the ball in his hands, great. He's been much better than I thought he was going to be. I still don't know if the Titans heard the whistle on the botched 12th man thing. So I don't know if that punt would have been blocked, but it sure looked like they were still playing.
Yeah.
And that was another one. The officials were bad yesterday too, and it was bad both ways. They missed calls both ways, but that was just awful. The guy in the back throws the flag, and it's like, what the hell? You stop a play. That's just incompetence. J. Mark, does Gus Bradley make it through the season? I don't know. He won a game. That probably keeps him back for another year. That's how they work there. But, so I would have been one pissed dude if they didn't cover after getting that botched 12th man call.
Oh, my goodness.
I think, and again, I think they're better this year than they were at this point last year in terms of, they've only been blown out once, which is about the same. But they, here's the other thing. You want to see a process of improvement, right? And they are 3-1, which is, it's a good start. Yeah, they're winning some games when they're not playing their best football. We haven't seen their best football yet, which at some point we will, I hope. So that's all good. But I also look at, they kept saying, it's the first time they've been shut out since 2003. It's like, yeah, because you guys don't count playoff games.
Yeah, that did happen.
And that's twice now in less than a calendar year. So I can see where there's some things that can improve. And I think the way they're using Hopkins and the way they keep trying to get to him, he needs to play better. They need to quit trying to run those plays like that. Osweiler needs to get better. And they got to figure out a way to run the ball. Because Miller, if you get him some space, he'll get you some yards.
Here's what it boils down to. The Texans started last year 1-3. They started this year 3-1. Obviously an improvement.
Yeah.
But I don't feel any better about this team than I do about last year's team. Is what it boils down to. Hell, the Texans started 1-4.
Yeah,
they kept losing.
But they also had, in that 1-4, they also had, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, those awful games against the Dolphins and Falcons where they just look hopeless.
The Dolphins came after they won their second game against Jacksonville.
Okay.
This was the other thing. Their first 3 wins of the season last year, the Bucs, the Jags, the Titans.
Yeah.
They lost to the Chiefs, the Panthers, the Falcons, like you said, a game where they just didn't look like they belonged on the field with them, the Colts, and then the Dolphins, which was almost as embarrassing as the Falcons game. I mean, there was a couple really bad games early on, but they turned it around, and by the end of the season it didn't look like the same team, and they had to beat a good team in the Bengals to get back there at Cincinnati, which they did.
Yeah.
Well,
if they can show that kind of improvement over the second half of the season, then I'll change my opinion on them. And maybe they can. I don't know. That's what I want to see. Although now you're doing it without your best defensive player.
I mean, the great thing is for them that this division is remarkably bad. And the Colts offensive line is so bad. I don't know what the Colts can do. They're not going to be a good team. The Colts can maybe win 8 games. They're never going to be a good team with what they've got going there.
Well, and not just that, their defense is.
Their defense is awful. I mean, it's a mess. It really is a mess. And as much as I think of Andrew Luck, he's not enough. He's just not. And the other
he has to be perfect for them to win. And if he makes one critical mistake, which he's been doing, they're going to lose the football game.
They need to be in that hurry up that what they do in the fourth quarter. They need to do that every game, all the time. and just play football like that.
Well, guess what? We'll go through all those games when we come back, including that one. So prepare yourself.
I will be prepared. I'm going to tell you about Man Centers if you're prepared for that, Fred. Mancenters.com is the place to go. These guys do the no scalpel vasectomies, and the no scalpel vasectomy means they're not cutting you open. There's no needle. They use a spray to numb you, and the procedure lasts right at 10 minutes. And I went through this. I'm telling you, it says on my copy here, it says on a pain scale of 1 to 10, the majority of patients report a 1 or 2, and anxiety of procedure is worse than actual pain. I didn't even feel any pain. I felt like a slight discomfort, and it didn't last long either. And the procedure was quick. There was nothing to it. I got out of there. I'm shooting blanks ever since. It's the best. If you're not looking to get that done, they can take care of all your general male wellness stuff. If you've got low T, you want to get a fertility evaluation, you want to get an STD evaluation, you've got any kind of pain down there below the belt, you need to get it checked out before it gets to be too bad. Man Centers is a place to go. They're trying to make this process easy for you. They want to eliminate as much of the idle time as possible when you're not seeing the doctor. They want to be respectful of your time. They've got online check-in and forms. They've got a kiosk check-in at the office if you don't like doing it online, but you're not having to deal face-to-face with very many people. They make it quick, and it really is an awesome experience. Check them out, 9190 Katy Freeway here in Houston, or you can go to mancenters.com or give them a call, 832-358-8600. Let Dr. Russell Williams get his hands down there on your junk and get it taken care of. Over 11,000 vasectomies performed. He's one of the best urologists in the country, and he's right here at Man Centers. Mancenters.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.